And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, the elections are over, and we're all tired of the campaign ads, as we always are. They wear us down. We're not interested in them at all, but that's about all they have on television and such. Maybe it would be better for us just to turn off the TV. The only things I watch are the educational shows, the news programs and such. But even there, boy, sometimes I wonder if it's even good to try to stay abreast of the news of the world because of all the filth and dirt that you get. And yet, I believe it's very important for us to unmask evil doing, to expose the evil. There are things in this world that are an abomination, and I'm beginning to wonder if all politics is not an abomination. You know, the Bible says something. Jesus even mentioned it. He used a term for something called the abomination of desolation. The Bible in the book of Daniel talks about the abomination that maketh desolate. I've often wondered, because I have in my research files evidence of supposed ministers of God who are actually performing satanic sexual rituals on the very altar of Christian churches, even at St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome. Roman Catholic cardinals, bishops, the wickedness of the establishment Christian church. Notice I didn't say the Christian church, the established Christian church. And all of the little whorelets, let's just call them, churches around this globe that call themselves Christian are staggering in their wickedness. The New York Times recently published a story that I thought was quite interesting, revealing. According to a new poll, only 4% of Americans identify themselves as, quote, Bible-believing Christians. 78% of Americans identified themselves as Christians. But only 4% said, yes, I am a Bible-believing Christian. The story, the article in the New York Times said that in 1956, in the 50s, the decade of the 50s, the same question, the same poll question was asked of American citizens. And at that time, 65% of Americans identified themselves as, quote, Bible-believing Christians. 65% in 1956. In the 1980s, the question was asked again, and only 35% answered yes, or affirmatively yes, I am a Bible-believing Christian. Today, 2006, 4%. We've slid. We've gone down from 65% to 35% to 4%. It's easy to find people who say, yes, I'm a Christian. Seems like a lot of people believe if you were born in America, you're a Christian. And it's easy then when President Bush says, I'm a Christian, even I'm a born-again Christian. You see, even in the New Age movement, as I've showed you in my books, such as Dark Secrets of the New Age, Mystery Mark of the New Age, the New Agers say, I'm a born-again believer. In the Bible, no. In Jesus, well, no. They're born again. They've gone through some kind of a Hindu Kundalini awakening experience, a serpent awakening. Some actually describe it as a serpent awakening. Kundalini is the Hindu term in the New Age movement. People are embarrassed to say, I'm a Bible-believing Christian. See, that sets you aside. There are very few Bible-believing Christians, but many Christians, so-called. In the White House today, we have men and women who say, and in our Congress, who say, I'm a Christian. Politicians galore who say, I am a Christian. But I want to tell you today, my friends, the Washington, D.C. area is nothing more than Babylon number 2, the annex to Great Mystery Babylon, the whoredom of the world. That's what Washington, D.C. is. If you don't believe it, listen to this radio program today. Our topic today is White House Bordello. Don't, if you want to research this area, which I do not recommend, don't worry if you're looking for a bordello. Don't go down to the seediest, most sordid streets of San Francisco or Houston or Detroit or Las Vegas or the boardwalk in New Jersey. No. Go to our nation's capital. There amidst the great Washington Monument, Grant's tomb, the White House, so-called the Capitol building with its goddess statue atop. You will find the most wicked men and women on earth. They gravitate to that city. I want to discuss one central place where it seems to be congregated. This is the Congregation of the Dead, and its address is 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I want to introduce you today to the White House Bordello. I understand they have bordellos that are legal in brothels that are legal in Las Vegas, Reno, Nevada. But you don't have to go to Nevada. Just visit Washington, D.C. in April and May when the pleasant weather is upon us, when the beautiful Japanese flower blossoming trees are out. Drive down the avenues, go to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and when you look out and you see the White House, remember inside, it's the Black House. And I'm not referring to the racial composition. I'm referring to the heart composition, the lack of a soul. I specifically want to address the subject today of how President George W. Bush and his merry band of homosexual thugs have transformed 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue into a cesspool of sex and sadism. The White House Bordello. President Nixon was in this office. He wasn't the nicest man. They said he cursed like a sailor. And yet, at times, the records show he spontaneously was given to prayer. Once, Henry Kissinger said, and Henry Kissinger is a secular Jew, and Nixon was so upset about Watergate, he said, Henry, would you pray with me? And they prayed right there in the Oval Office. That's pretty remarkable in a place like Washington, D.C. He wasn't faking. He never advertised this to the public. It's in the memoirs of Henry Kissinger that President Nixon said, please pray with me. Oh, many prayers are held. They have prayer services, the White House prayer breakfast each year when they invite all the Hindu guru leaders, and they invite Catholic priests and Protestant ministers and a Muslim mufti and sheikhs and the Jewish rabbis and Buddhist monks, and all of the religionists go for the White House breakfast. Isn't that sweet? A lot of prayer is offered to the devil's substitutes for Christ and God. But Nixon, in the Nixon tapes, the actual Nixon tapes, they keep revealing these things periodically, the Nixon Library out in Washington, D.C. And he was asked about the Bohemian Grove, the wicked men of the Bohemian Grove, the secret society that meets annually in the forest outside San Francisco in the Bohemian Grove. Ronald Reagan was there. George Bush and son, George W., have been there. Many of the most famous, especially conservative Republicans, have been there. Nixon went there once, and he said it was one of the most filthy places on earth. He said a bunch of fags, filthy, dirty fags, go there. He said, you know something? After I left that place, he was invited to speak there. They meet there in secret once a year. No one can get in. They have armed guards. Alex Jones broke in. We have his video. You might want to order that video about the Bohemian Grove. We have audio tapes. I have one called The Wicked Men of the Bohemian Grove offering to you, too. We'll tell you how to get those later on. But the thing about it is, Nixon said it made him dirty to go there. Filthy. He said, I didn't want to shake their hands because of the things they had been doing. Think about that. The things they had been doing were so filthy and abominable that Nixon said, I didn't want to shake the hands of the fags, of the faggots, of the homosexuals that were there. That's his words. And he said that to his two top assistants, John Ehrlichman and H.R. Bob Haldeman, the Nixon tapes. Bohemian Grove, the Republicans are a bunch of sex perverts, said Richard M. Nixon. Today we have a president in office who attends the Bohemian Grove. His father has attended. We have a White House First Lady, Laura Bush, who was asked by the Library Association of the State of Texas to name a book and a play, like a Broadway play, that could be put on display in the Dallas Public Library as an example of the great literature by Texas writers and playwrights. And guess what she chose? She chose to be on display her favorite Broadway play entitled The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. You say, Tex, you've got to be kidding me. I'm not kidding you at all. I'm heartbroken. That's the best that she had to offer the citizens. The play, The Best Little Whorehouse of Texas. Well, you know, the White House is the worst little whorehouse in America. And she presides over it as the madam, it appears. The Jewish neocon homosexual thugs run the White House, of course. They've always run Democratic Party White Houses, but it appears like they've had a stranglehold on the Republicans for a long time as well. Of course, if we travel over to Russia and the Soviet Union, you'll find out in history, if you dig deep enough, because they don't say much about it in the official history books, you have to dig to find out that Vladimir Lenin, who founded communism over in Russia, was Jewish and was a homosexual. Trotsky, his second man, the murderous Leon Trotsky, was Jewish and homosexual. Beria, who was head of the secret police, who massacred and purged so many millions of Christians and others during the reign of Joseph Stalin in Soviet Russia, was Jewish and a homosexual and a pedophile. Karl Rove, the man they called the Brain, the political mastermind behind the Bush political victories, is a homosexual, well known in gay circles in Washington, D.C., and in Karl Rove's own biography, he discusses the fact that his own father was a gay man. Like father, like son, sometimes. Recently, an article came out about a new book written by a man named David Kuo. That's K-U-O. He was with the Faith-Based Initiatives Office in the White House. He's a Christian person who really believed in George Bush. And he was put in as the second man at the Faith-Based Initiatives Office at the White House. They were going to give out government taxpayers' money to churches. How sweet it is for those churches that have tax-exempt status and get grants from the Bush White House. They're standing in line. Meanwhile, Kuo says that once he got to the White House, he found out what the Bush team thought about Christians, what they really believed. They call all the Christian evangelicals names like stupid, ridiculous, insane. They laughed. They sneered at Christians in the White House. That's what they really think about us. And why shouldn't they? They're all a bunch of homosexual thugs in the White House. From George W. Bush, yes, he is a homosexual thug to boot, murderer, torturer. I'll get more into that in a little bit. One of the men who has visited the White House hundreds of times, according to the official sign-in registers at the White House, is a man named Abramoff. You may have heard about him. He's been convicted now. Jack Abramoff, Jewish lobbyist, crook. He worked hand in hand with the former head of the Christian Coalition, Mr. Ralph Reed, in his casino gambling lobbying work. Crooked, corrupt. He held sex parties in his yacht off the coast of Miami, Florida. Abramoff, hundreds of times visited the White House. And now many Bush government officials are having a problem. By the way, Mr. Abramoff spent millions of dollars he sent into Israel to pay for sniper teams to go kill men, women, and children of Palestine. Just shoot them at random. Just to terrorize the Palestinian people. He paid for sniper murder teams in Israel. Approved by the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency, George W. Bush, and by the Israeli Mossad and the Shin Bet Secret Police of Israel. A Bush lobbyist who visited the White House hundreds of times having sex parties in his big yacht off the coast of Miami, paying for little children, men, women, to be murdered by sniper teams. And he made hundreds of millions of dollars, hand in glove, working with Republican congressmen. Friends, the Marquis de Sade over in France, he couldn't compare to the evil of these men today. And we're going to talk about that. Of course, a lot of it for George W. Bush and his father started at the Skull and Bones when each of them, during their era, their time there at Yale University, laid in the tomb in a coffin, totally naked. And we don't know what all they did, but most of the members of Skull and Bones are homosexual to the core. Did you know that George W. Bush is the first president to anoint and appoint as head of the Republican National Committee? He oversees all of the Republicans running for office in Congress. Ken Mehlman is his name, M-E-H-L-M-A-N, and he is a homosexual. The head of the Republican National Committee, a gay man! Recently we had the spectacle of Congressman Mark Foley. Oh, he's a big evangelical supporter. Oh, he's an evangelical man, congressman from Florida. And then we find out he's sexually harassing the young congressional pages. And now the newest is, since 2002, Congressman Dan Hastert, Republican, who was the Speaker of the House, knew about it. All the Republican leadership knew about the sexual harassment activities of Mark Foley. Of course, he was caught with using the text messages on his phones back and forth to the pages. He paid him a little visit. He's not the only one. There's Congressman Jim Colby from Arizona, K-O-L-B-E. He is an open homosexual. He has admitted it after he was outed, of course, several years back. And now it comes out that he took congressional pages, young men, out camping with him, out in the woods. Oh, yes. We were just there in the woods having a good old gay time, weren't we, Mr. Colby? Hastert, the House Speaker for the Republicans, knew about Mark Foley. He was told about it. But they said, you know, we don't want to discriminate just because the man's gay. So they kept it a secret. Of course, Dick Cheney knows a lot about homosexuality. I've heard a lot about his sexual preferences. A lot of them. His wife, of course, Lynn Cheney, who goes on television all the time, pumping, primping, pimping, or whatever you call it for Dick Cheney and George W. Bush. She wrote novels before her husband became vice president. Steamy, gay, sex, lesbian scenes in them. Meanwhile, the Cheney's daughter is herself a lesbian activist. Then there's Dick Cheney's chief of staff, Mr. Libby Scooter Lewis. Scooter, they call him. Old Scooter. I'm not going to comment on that. I'm not going to go there as to why they call him Scooter. But he writes novels himself. You wouldn't believe these people. What are they doing with their time? Here's the vice president's wife. She wrote these novels. She was head of some scientific commission or something before she became the second lady, you might say, Miss Lynn Cheney. She finds the time to write lesbian novels, and then Libby Scooter Lewis, you know, he was recently indicted and forced out as chief of staff to Dick Cheney, indicted for perjury. That's another case. His book is very interesting. I was reading an excerpt from his novel recently. You can find it on the internet. Libby Lewis has scenes in it about naked women, sexual deviance, and I'm not even going to talk about the sexual torture of a bear in a cage. Tex, you got to be kidding me. No, I'm not kidding you. I told you I was going to tell you about a White House bordello. So for me to tell you about Libby Lewis, the chief of staff, writing a book about the sexual torture of a bear in a cage, no, it's true. Then there's the true story of Johnny Gosch. He's a young man. His mother wrote a book well over a decade, 20 years ago. In fact, it was entitled Why Johnny Cannot Come Home. You see, her young son, Johnny, was abducted, was kidnapped. This is a true story, friends. Go to johnnygosch.com. You'll see pictures there that will make you sick. His mother's been looking for him now for over two decades. Johnny Gosch, Johnny cannot come home. Why can't Johnny come home? Because Johnny, at 12 years of age, was a newspaper boy in a small town up in the Midwest, and he was abducted, kidnapped by a sexual ring of homosexual thugs, Republicans! If you want to know more about this, I offer you the book, The Franklin Cover-Up, entitled Child Abuse, Satanism, and Murder in Nebraska by Senator John W. DeCamp. Read that book. You'll find out about how young boys were molested by pedophiles inside the White House during the Reagan administration. Oh, you thought Reagan was a paragon of excellence and virtue. Oh, yes, you'll see it. According to the Washington Times newspaper, there's even a picture of that newspaper, I believe, in this book, but it tells all about it. They were taking young boys from Boys Town to Catholic Orphans Home in Nebraska. Remember old Father Flanagan? The story of Spencer Tracy, and it was a big famous movie. But today, I don't know about today, but I know just a few years ago, they were rounding up young boys and on weekends would send them in executive jets, fly them to the White House in Washington, D.C. for sexual orgies with congressmen and senators and White House aides. And it made the White House, the Washington Times newspaper. And then it was covered up by all the press after that. Johnny Gosch turned out to be one of those kids. Abducted, sexually tortured, they rape, they molest, some of them they sacrifice to Satan. One of the richest men in Nebraska, his name was Larry King, not the Larry King of CNN News, no, another one. Another Larry King, he ran one of the biggest savings and loan associations in Nebraska. and he was one of the perpetrators, and he was, by the way, this Larry King was so beloved, he was a pedophile. He was a torturer of kids. He was so beloved by the Republican Party that they invited him to one of the Republican Party national conventions when they nominated the president and vice president of the United States and asked him to sing the Pledge of Allegiance. To say it, rather, and to sing the Star-Spangled Banner, that is. I said the Pledge of Allegiance. I mean, they say that. But he sang the Star-Spangled Banner when Reagan was nominated for president. Larry King, a black man. And a pimp. And a millionaire. David Noble, who's a Christian, wrote an article defending the Republican Party recently. Because after Mr. Foley, Mark Foley, was outed as a sexual pervert and pedophile predator, David Noble came to defend the Republican Party. He says, will the real sodomy party please stand up? He said, hey, it's the Democrats are the biggest sodomites. Look at Congressman Jerry Studs from Massachusetts. He had sex with a 16-year-old congressional page, and he got away with it some years ago. Yes, he did. Hey, I'm not here to defend the Democrats. Everybody knows they're perverted. But they think our president is a Christian hero. Now, one of President Bush's religious advisors, of course, was a man named Haggard. Not Merle Haggard. Ted Haggard. He was a constant advisor and a much appreciated spiritual counselor to President Bush. And he was head of the National Association of Evangelicals, 30 million members strong. The Southern Baptist, the Pentecostal Church, the Assembly of God's, all of them members of the National Association of Evangelicals. And Ted Haggard wrote a best-selling book called Leadership. And he was pastor of one of these new seeker Rick Warren type churches there in Colorado Springs. 14,000 members. And he was a flaming faggot homosexual who now has been outed in the last couple of weeks, as you know. His homosexual lover said that he carried on a 3-year-long affair, and he was paid well for it too. And he always brought along, that's the homosexual lover, to their little homosexual motel meeting places. He and Haggard brought along their methamphetamine, their meth, their drugs. It heightened their homosexual sexual experience. Ted Haggard spoke for 30 million Christian evangelicals. Have a article here from Ministries Magazine praising Mr. Haggard. Of course, it was written back a few months ago. And he was asked about Bill Clinton. He says, he was asked this question. Mr. Haggard, you've said that Bill Clinton is, quote, a fine Christian evangelical. Do you really believe that? Yes, I do, he said. Here's Ted Haggard saying that the president who used a cigar to do something dirty with a 21-year-old Monica Lewinsky in the Oval Office, talk about an abomination of desolation, this filthy sex pervert Bill Clinton that can't keep his pants on, and here's Ted Haggard saying, oh, he's a fine evangelical Christian man. That was before we found out that Ted Haggard, who has a wife and 5 children, is a homosexual deceiver. Friends, I want to tell you something. I've been out all over America, and I met these church people. I've been to from Trinity Broadcasting Network to whatever. I used to go there. They don't invite me anymore after I began to expose all of them. I didn't know what they were. I'd written a Christian book, and I go out there, and I found out what all these people are. And I said, where is the true Christian church? I have found it. It's the little people. It's the mom and pops. It's the true believers. They don't have the big buildings. They don't have the establishment. They just have Jesus. I want to talk more about this matter. White House Bordello, when we return, you're listening to Tex Mars, and this is Power of Prophecy. Stay with us. Hello, friends. Again, Tex Mars. You know, Michael Collins Piper is a good friend of mine, and he's written a great new book. It's called The Judas Goats. The Judas Goats. Hey, you know who Judas was? Deceived, betrayed Christ Jesus. And, you know, there are people in America who have betrayed America. Betrayed our Constitution. Betrayed American standards of conduct. And really, they're dangerous to this country. They're the unpatriots. The unpatriots. Their story is shocking. They have infiltrated and subverted American freedoms. They are, says Michael Collins Piper, the enemy within, the Judas Goats. Boy, he's got their name. He tells all about them. You'll need to know the truth about McCarthyism, the truth about Timothy McVeigh in Oklahoma City. What really happened? And oh, there's so much more. What really happened in the Iraq situation? How about the criminal misdeeds of Michael Chertoff, the Jewish henchman who is head of the Homeland Security? What about Zionism and Stalin and Trotskyism? Has it infected America? Are there communist Zionists at the head of our government, even at the White House? How about these sex perverts? Are they in the White House today? Are they among the Judas Goats? Fox News. How did Fox News Network begin? Who is Sean Hannity? Rush Limbaugh? Are they any better than Hollywood producer Michael Moore? How about Bill O'Reilly of the O'Reilly Factor? Ann Coulter? Man. Judas Goats. You may be surprised. They call themselves conservatives. But remember Richard Nixon. The one thing that was true, I believe he said, was he visited the Bohemian Grove. All of the Republican so-called conservative bigwigs were there. He said they're nothing but a bunch of dirty, filthy faggots. Wow. Could it be? The book, The Judas Goats, The Enemy Within. The Judas Goats by Michael Collins Piper. Now, this book is around 370 pages or so, 366 to be exact. $25 we ask for your help on this book. And of course, any profit we get from selling this book to you, well, we're going to put right back in the ministry and keep right on the going and keep telling the truth. But you need this book. You know, you're not going to find this at B. Dalton Books, Walden Books, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com. I guess they have it. But you're going to get it right here on Power of Prophecy. By the way, you can order this book and any of our fine books at powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com on the internet. Or you can call us to order this book, $25. Please add $4 shipping and handling, total of $29. As for The Judas Goats by Michael Collins Piper, like the Piper Cub airplane. The Judas Goats, $29, postpaid. Take care of all the shipping. Call us toll-free, 1-800, use your charge card, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. And, of course, you can write to us, send us a check for $29 or a money order or cash. And please fold it up inside a piece of paper because, back in the old days, I trusted postmen. I guess I trusted just about everybody. But nowadays, what can we do, friends? You got to protect things. But send it, your remittance, to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson, Patterson, Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Of course, we're in the United States of America. That toll-free number, by the way, works in Canada and the United States. If you're anywhere else in the world you want to phone us, call us during our Central Standard Time here. And call us on our regular phone line. That's area code 512-263-9780. And that's been our phone number for about 12 years, probably, or more, 15 years. And did you know, friends, we're having our 20th anniversary this year? 20 years. Boy, they tried everything to stop us. They've tried to shut us down. They've tried to bankrupt us. They've given IRS audits to us. They've done everything, and we just, like the little bunny in the ever-ready Energizer thing. Almost got the wrong, I don't, I'm not giving it a commercial for him, I don't care what company puts it out. But it's a little bunny that goes around beating his drums. Hey, we're still beating the drums for truth here. And you know what, friends? We appreciate you being a part of this. I know. I'm not just trying to toot your horn, but I'm telling you, somebody needs to. We've got the brightest, most intelligent, the most thoughtful, and courageous people that listen to this program. I know. I get emails. I get letters from you. And people are frightened to death of this stuff, but not you. You know why? When you got the truth on your side, you don't have to worry about anything else. Did you just hear me? Can they punish you? Maybe a little bit. But you got a big bodyguard. He's bigger than any of them. And I feel sorry for anybody that harms Christians. Let me tell you something, friends. A lot of people have pointed out Genesis to me, where it says God told Abraham, your seed will be as the sands of the earth. And God told Abraham, whoever blesses you, I will bless, and whoever curses you, I will curse. Now, I believe that is imparted to the seed of Abraham as well. And did you know that Galatians 3, verse 29, describes who the seed of Abraham are? Some say it's the Jews. Hey, get off of it. Shut up. Why don't you believe what the Bible says? Galatians 3, verse 29, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You are an heir of the promise given Abraham. And what was one of the promises? Whoever blesses you, I will bless. Whoever curses you, I will curse. That's one of the promises given Abraham. Of course, the greatest promise given Abraham was the rest, R-E-S-T, that we have in Christ Jesus. That's the greatest promise of all. Because Abraham believed it was imparted to him for righteousness, the Bible says. He believed. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, listen to me, dear friends, you are Abraham's seed and you are heirs of all the promises given to Abraham, including the promise of promises. And if people do good things for you, if they bless you as a believer in Jesus Christ, as the seed of Abraham, regardless of your race. Did you just get that? Can you internalize that? Because right there in Galatians 3, it says God is no respecter of persons. It says that God doesn't choose you based on your race, Jew or Gentile. He doesn't care. He looks at your heart. He doesn't judge your outward appearance. You can be black. You can be white. You can have blonde hair. You can have red hair. He says, what is your heart? What is your witness? What is your testimony? Do you have the testimony of Jesus Christ? If you are, you're an overcomer. You're an overcomer because you have all the promises. Oh, I'm giving a little sermon. I'm getting fired up right now. But I want you to understand something. It's not to the Jews alone. It's not to the Gentiles alone. Somebody wrote to me a letter and said, dear Tex, so you believe that all the Jews are going to hell? Shut up! I never said that. I don't even believe such a thing. I don't care what you are, Jew or Gentile. Shut up! Would you just shut up? Believe the Bible. God is no respecter of persons. But text, you expose the Jews. I do. I expose Americans. I expose Mexicans. I expose Canadians. I expose Germans. I expose the Chinese. I expose all evildoers. And all have the opportunity. Whosoever will can serve God. Did you get that? Whosoever will may come and drink of the living waters. Man, that's a sermon for today. That's a sermon that goes way past anything you'll hear from the lips of George Bush and his White House Bordello team. And you heard it right here. If if you're a Christian believer, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if he's in your heart, you better believe that anybody that does you a favor, anybody who's good to you, anybody who does a righteous work that helps you, anybody who makes your life a little easier, anybody who blesses you in any way, they will be blessed. Listen to me, if you're not a Christian out there, if you want to listen to me, I want to tell you something. You can read every success book, every how to get rich book in the world, but they will not tell you how to be blessed, but I'm going to tell you how to be blessed. Do something good today for a Christian believer. I don't know what it is. I don't know what you're going to do. Whatever you do, whatever blessing you give to Christian believers, you will be blessed in return, and you cannot out-bless God. And whatever curse you give, you hate Christianity, you're going to do something bad to a Christian believer, ooh, you're in big trouble. You better watch out, friend. I know some people listen to this radio so they can just quote me, try to find things I'm saying that can be proven wrong. Or, you know, because I don't use a transcript. Everybody knows that. I don't have any transcript here. There's nothing I say on the air that's transcripted. You can ask Sandra and the other people that are in my ministry and they watch me here on the radio program. I don't use any transcript. Every once in a while I'll make a few little notes here and there and grab this piece of paper and that piece of paper. I don't have any transcript. Some people say, can I have a transcript of that program? They write me. They think we type it up and I read it. I don't read anything. Well, I'll read, you know, articles and newspapers and quotes and things like that. I go with what God gives me that day. That's what you're listening to. Whatever God gives me. Nobody tells me. Nobody sets our agenda here. We don't have any talking points. We just tell the truth. Okay. Let's return to our regular program. Boy, I love getting into a rant. That's so much fun. Just to tell the truth. Just to give what the Bible says. And tell people to shut up who don't believe in the Bible. It's the Jews who are God's chosen people. They're the ones that have the blessing. Shut up! Okay, I said it 10 times. I won't say it anymore. I was talking to you about Johnny Gosch. Just this year, after over 20 years of missing her young son, of a heart broken, this mother who lost this young newspaper boy, Johnny Gosch, to this sexual ring, found a picture on her doorstep. She opened the door one morning and there were some pictures, photographs. She opened up the envelope and what she saw broke her heart again. She couldn't believe it. It was pictures of her young son tied up tightly by ropes, laying in a bed. Someone had taken pictures of her young son way back when he was a 12-year-old boy. Tied, went all tied up, trussed up, laying in bed, a look of horror on his face, knowing or just imagining what was going to become him. And to torment this mother, over 20 years later, they leave the pictures on her doorstep. But listen, that's not all. Some people are saying that Johnny Gosch stayed and was molested and tortured, and through mind control processes and the monarch processes of the CIA was turned into a sexual slave. And guess what? Just a few years ago, at the White House, a news reporter started showing up. Nobody had ever seen him before. He identified himself as Jeff Gannon, J-G, you know, as in Johnny Gosch. Jeff Gannon. Nobody knew who he was. Now, the White House press corps is a small elite group. You have to have a big name and a lot of power and a big organization behind you. This man identified himself as with a group called Talon, Talon.com, Talon.com. You know, like an eagle's claw, a talon. Nobody had ever heard of Talon before. Some news reporters said, how did he get here? You see, Karl Rove, the brain, the political mastermind who's in the White House with George Bush, has to personally approve everybody's press credentials before they can go in the White House press briefing room. And there was a new man. He was a young guy, maybe in his early 30s. He had his hair shaved, you know, bald. And then sometimes it was cut in like a burr cut. Very muscular young man. And some reporters were very curious, and so they went to Talon.com on the internet, and they found it was a website that seemed like it was putting out stuff that came right out of the Republican Party's National Committee offices. It was not an independent website, news site. It wasn't like ABC News or CBS or CNN or even Fox News. It was something nobody had ever heard about. How did this guy get press credentials? You see, some of the most famous reporters for the news networks and the around the world press correspondents couldn't become a member of the White House press corps, couldn't get credentials. Who was this guy? They checked out his background. They found out that he didn't have any broadcasting experience. He had never worked for newspapers or news organizations. They had no record of him ever attending any college or university. How did he show up all of a sudden? And then someone said, you know, he looks a lot like pictures of a young boy named Johnny Gosch. Aged a bit, yes, to be sure. Could Jeff Gannon be Johnny Gosch? And then reporters in the White House press corps remembered some things. They remembered seeing President George Bush when he would come out and he would have his press news conferences. He would always wink at Johnny Gosch. Give him a little sly little wink. Wasn't that sweet? And then there were those occasions, and I have a picture right here in front of me, dear friends. There were several occasions when at the end of the press conference, Jeff Gannon, would walk forth up to shake hands with the president. And the president, on at least two occasions that I know of, and I have a picture of one right here in front of me, actually took his head, pulled it over to him, to his breast, to the president's breast, and kissed him on the top of the head. Have you ever heard of a news reporter? A male? Have you ever heard of Nixon or Eisenhower or Truman or Gerald Ford or even Bill Clinton kissing the top of a reporter's head? And then one day, I don't know why he was on that website, but an enterprising news reporter was scouting the web, homosexual websites, and came upon a homosexual escort service. And you know what that is. They advertise their phone number there in the Washington, D.C. area, evidently. And if you want a homosexual lover for a night, and you're willing to pay good money for it, they evidently have all these websites you can go to, and they have their pictures on them. It's like a gallery of male prostitutes. Now, how do I know this? Well, I'm looking at the news reports. Because, you see, Jeff Gannon happened to be on one of those websites. In fact, he owned one of the websites. And his pictures, totally in the nude, male organ showing and all, were there for all to see. And his phone number, you know, sort of like, call Jeff for a good time. He was a homosexual prostitute. But someone gave him credentials, and it turned out, he was investigated, and it turned out that it was Karl Rove's office. And then some enterprising reporters did some research, and you see, everybody that visits the White House night and day has to sign in. And those records, the sign-in logs, become public records. Guess who visited the White House after hours, you know, like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning? On hundreds of occasions, a man named Jeff Gannon. Spending the wee morning hours at the White House, this gay, homosexual,
prostitute. Now, here's an interesting thing. In the Nebraska newspaper, The Star, all the story about this homosexual pedophile sex ring run by this Larry King character that was connected with Father Flanagan's orphanage home and all that. Remember the one that they actually jetted boys to Washington, D.C., to the White House for sex with all these congressmen? All of that broke the news. The ring, some of them were being investigated. Now, they got away with it all, but they were investigated there in Nebraska. And guess the name of the Star reporter that reported on the ring? He wrote an exclusive stories. He also reported on the mysterious abduction and disappearance of Johnny Gosch and how, as it turned out, Johnny Gosch showed up as one of the young boys that went to these sex parties in Washington, D.C. Johnny Gosch, the missing Johnny. Why Johnny can't go home? The reporter's name was Jeff Gannon. It wasn't the same Jeff Gannon as the one that showed up pretending to be from a group called Talon.com and showed up at the White House press conferences because the age would have been off. You see, when Johnny Gosch, just a few years after he was abducted, the stories were written up in the Star newspaper by ace reporter Jeff Gannon. What a mystery. Could it be that Johnny Gosch was brain control, mind control, and turned into a sexual slave? And wasn't killed like so many of them and discarded? But remained part of their network? And was even allowed to go to Washington, D.C.? And there is President Bush kissing him on the top of the head, winking at him in the press room, visiting the White House in the wee hours of the morning. And isn't it odd that if that was Johnny Gosch with initials JG, that the same person could take on as a pseudonym, a fake name, the very name of the ace reporter who decades before had reported on his abduction and disappearance? A reporter named Jeff Gannon? What kind of a psychological maneuvering would be going on inside this young man's head? The mother, Mrs. Gosch, was asked, "Is that your son?" Because pictures of Jeff Gannon suddenly were all over the internet. She said it could be. Reporters began to ask Jeff Gannon, "Are you Johnny Gosch?" Suddenly he disappeared again. As far as I know, Jeff Gannon, a.k.a. perhaps Johnny Gosch, has not been seen for quite a while in Washington, D.C. He never shows up anymore at the White House press conferences. Friends, let me tell you something. There's some strange things in this world. And one of them is these homoerotic thugs at the White House. Now, I was the first to expose the fact that Mr. Roberts, who was nominated and is now the Supreme Court Chief Justice of the United States, a Bush nominee, is a gay man. Did you know that Republicans left and right are turning out to be gay perverts, even pedophiles? I've told you about Jim Colby. You know about Mark Foley. You know about Danny Hastert, who many now say himself is a gay man. What did Danny or Hastert do before he became the Republican Speaker of the House of Representatives? You know what's interesting? He was a teacher, a coach, a wrestling teacher, and he wrestled young boys, taught them how to wrestle, got his hands all over their bodies. And then suddenly he quit that job and ran for Congress. Many say he himself is a homosexual. Then there's Harriet Myers. Bush nominated her to the Supreme Court, but she didn't make it. Many say that she is a lesbian. Makes me understand, this press release that came out recently from the Associated Press. Government agrees to stop funding abstinence-only sex education programs. You know, all the Christians wanted Bush to fund programs. Instead of just sex ed programs in schools, they wanted abstinence programs. Well, the federal government has agreed to stop them because it was complained that it was Christian proselytizing. So the Bush White House said, okay, we won't pay for those only anymore. Reading here from an interesting article that was sent to me says this. It says, President Bush has more homosexuals in his administration than Bill Clinton. Did you get that? President Clinton has more homosexuals in his administration than Bill Clinton, including the ambassador to Romania, who went flying off to Bucharest, Romania, with his male lover. Has Pat Robertson complained about that? Has James Dobson, Jerry Falwell, said one word about it? No! They were all over Bill Clinton! But Bush, he gets a free ride. Then there's George Bush. Now listen to this. George W. Bush's reputed lover, gay lover. Oh, are you surprised? His name is Victor Ash. They were roomies back at Yale. Victor Ash from Tennessee. You won't be able to talk to Mr. Ash, though. You see, because when word got out that he was gay, George Bush's gay lover back in college, he got a new job. He was mayor of Knoxville, Tennessee, and Bush made homosexual Victor Ash ambassador to a foreign country. Now, isn't that just peachy? Meanwhile, listen to this. Recently, the Bush White House appointed a high government official and made him the U.S. Global AIDS Coordinator. It happened there in Washington, D.C., and Condi Rice, yes, Secretary of State Condi Rice, presided over and swore in Dr. Mark Dybul as the United States Global AIDS Coordinator with the rank of ambassador. I want to read to you her words. Secretary Rice says, thank you very much. I am truly honored and delighted to have the opportunity to swear in Mark Dybul as our next Global AIDS Coordinator. I am pleased to do that in the presence of Mark's parents and his mother-in-law and his partner, Jason. In fact, Jason held the Bible. His homosexual lover, and I've got the picture, held the Bible upon which Mr. Mark Dybul put his hand. And here is Condi Rice swearing him in. She recognized his gay lover. Now, isn't that sweet? By the way, WorldNet Daily commented on that. They had an article, October 17, 2006, that said, Rice's approving gay remarks rankle the GOP. Base. Frank Rich writes a column in the New York Times, wrote a column recently, said, the gay old party comes out, the GOP, the Republicans. He said, surprise, there is many or more homosexuals in Washington, D.C., including, you know, David Dreyer, congressman from California, on and on and on, that are gays as Democrats. I'll end with this, dear friends. You know, the president of Venezuela, Mr. Chavez, came to the United States a few months ago, spoke at the United Nations. He said, I smell the smell of sulfur from hell, because President Bush also spoke at this same podium. Well, Mr. Chavez, you were absolutely right. I too smell sulfur. Sulfur from hell. And it's emanating out of a residence at this address, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. There you will find the White House bordello. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. My prayer is you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.